Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Alrighty, third hour, Comedy Live, Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender, Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, and CBS Sports Network, 1-855-212-4227. Before we blast you into the weekend, hopefully you guys have some cool things lined up. I'll get some more hoops here, Tiki and Tierney, you want to jump in on Twitter. Next segment, by the way, and we got a couple of questions for him. We're not going to attack him.
No.
Not right away. Mike North, NFL Director of Broadcasting, who is tasked with the unenviable job of constructing a schedule. I'm not saying it's easy, but they did have a colossal miss. And I'm going to ask him this for sure. I don't know how any NFL team can play at their home stadium in Week 5 and not be back there until Week 11.
Yeah.
That's just patently unfair.
Because it's a soccer stadium, that's why.
Okay. Okay. Is that what he's going to tell us?
That's my excuse.
You didn't make it up. What's his?
I don't know.
What's his excuse?
I don't know.
Now, I don't know what we see from LeBron. That's coming up next, though. Mike North on the schedule. I don't know what we see from LeBron tonight. I sense it's going to kind of be in between. Where game one, he was not disengaged because he was disengaged with a purpose.
Yeah.
In terms of being the primary facilitator. He wanted to get or score. He wanted to get people involved. They missed, and they got rubbed out. And he learned his lesson. Tyronn Lue called him on it respectfully. LeBron had the answer, as we thought he would. Came out and scored 16 straight points.
Yeah.
Scored 29 in the first half. Scored 46 on the game. Now the series shifts to Indiana. And you know the Pacers believe. I think the Pacers expect to win. I think the Pacers fans believe that they're going to win this series. There's enough evidence to support that thought. And, you know, I my only question is, does LeBron come in and strike a tune in the middle of games one or two, one and two, or follow the same script as game two?
No, I think he's got to follow the same script as game two. The question...
I think that's dangerous.
I think it is too, but he has to, BT, because think about who he's facilitating to. J.R. Smith is maybe, and I hate this, it's crazy to say it, but the most reliable guy right now because he has experience winning a championship with LeBron. He's become a good defender. At least this last few weeks, he's been a good defender, and he can knock down the shots. The other guy who you would point to would be Kevin Love, but I have no idea what to expect from Kevin Love tonight because he's now playing with a torn ligament in his thumb.
Yeah,
and so he's injured once again. He'll be able to do all the other things like gather rebounds and provide spacing because even if his shot is off, you still got to respect that he can knock down an open jump shot.
Mm-hmm.
So the spacing stays intact with Kevin Love out there. But, I mean, other than that, who else is helping LeBron do what he did, which is win game two? And, you know, this call to action from Ty Lue that he originally set on LeBron, he's now put it on the other guys. You know, you guys got to stay up. LeBron can't do this by himself.
Yeah.
Do they respond to that? And I can't guarantee that, but I do know that I could guarantee LeBron will score 40 again.
Yeah, I mean he'll probably score 40. Teague, I don't think he could come out and do what he did in game two. Not that he's incapable.
Yeah, but that was I don't want to say it was luck because a lot of it was they forced Oladipo into some bad decisions. He got two quick offensive fouls. I mean, but literally scoring the first 16 points, not like the first 16 points for the team, but in the game.
Mm-hmm. 16-1.
You're right. And they didn't knock down a basket until, you know, 6 minutes and 38 seconds left in the quarter, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They scored one, but it was a free throw. So to do that again is not likely. But I think LeBron it has to at least just follow that same formula because they can't score enough.
But here's why I disagree with you.
You want him to go back to being a facilitator?
No, I think he's got to straddle the fence and straddle that line, and it's delicate. It's a delicate balance, and if he doesn't strike it perfectly, they very well might lose the series.
Yeah.
But if this thing gets any deeper, and the other secondary parts, we all know the names, outside of Kevin Love and J.R. Smith, because you have to expect that when they get looks, they'll knock them down.
Yes.
Because they got guts, and they're both pretty talented, and they've been there before, the newcomers. if he doesn't empower them early in this game,
mm-hmm.
it's going to become a heavier weight on their shoulders. It's going to be a burden that's going to become more talked about, more obvious mm-hmm. to everybody. It's already obvious, but even more picked apart and micro-analyzed here. I think that LeBron's got to find a way to score a couple of buckets early to make sure that the Pacers don't run away, because mm-hmm. they very well could jump on them 13-4. I could see it. 13-4, timeout, you know, Cavaliers, timeout, and the field house is going bonkers. And then you got problems.
Yes.
So I think LeBron's got to find a way, you know, get to the line, couple of free throws, maybe get a dunk, whatever. But he's got to get some of these other guys easy baskets. Teek, if this thing is late first quarter and they've got like 9 or 10 or 12 points, and LeBron's got most of them,
yeah,
the confidence meter is backwards, and now you're done.
But I don't understand. How do you get these guys?
You just
got to
trust that they're going to make an open shot.
I mean,
because if you can't do that, you're not winning the next series anyway. So it doesn't matter. You have to empower them.
True, but at the same token, you got to ensure that you're going to get to the next series.
Well,
I mean, it's or the egg, man. It's hard. It's crazy because we never had to have this conversation about LeBron's teams. I was going to say the Cavs, but it wasn't just the Cavs. It was the same thing with the Heat. You knew that they were getting at least to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking about whether or not there's enough for them to get past the first round of the Eastern Conference. It's just a different conversation, and it's odd because we're still talking about the best player in basketball. It just feels like it just feels like a much weaker package that we're presenting, led by LeBron James.
It's not going to get cataloged as one of his great games of all time, but it really should, based on the respectful call out by Tyronn Lue.
Yep.
Based on the fact you lost the first game at home,
mm-hmm.
it's the first round. They hadn't lost a first round game since 2012.
Yep.
You come out, you score 16 straight points, you score 46 on the night, you have no help. And the fact that you still, with 27 seconds left, Oladipo had a clean look, which, as I said, I thought mm-hmm. was a really bad shot, go for the two, extend the game. I detailed that yesterday I chronicled it in detail. But the fact that the Pacers were right there after everything that LeBron James did, that would terrify me.
Yeah.
He played a sublime basketball game, and they almost lost.
Yeah.
He needs help, and he needs it early. Now, fourth quarter, you're up to tie game, 5 minutes to go. You want to take over? Give me the rock. Get out of my way. I'm going to be LeBron Superman. Go for it.
That's hard to do,
He can't do it for 48 minutes tonight.
I was
going to
say, that's hard to do when you're going to play 40-something minutes.
I know.
Deep 40 minutes.
True, but if the first 30-ish or 35 are less taxing than they were the other night, those first 12 minutes were incredibly taxing.
Yeah.
Think about what he did to score 16 points.
Oh, I know it.
If that thing goes to overtime, now he's not really human, so maybe he defies it even more. He probably would have been shot.
Yeah, and the truth is, it's not like LeBron is shooting open jumpers right now. You know what I mean?
No.
If you just watch the highlights. He's working every bucket. He's working hard to create something for himself or running, you know, down the lane and getting an inlet pass or whatever it may be. It's not easy baskets for LeBron James right now. So to do that for four quarters is not gonna work. But I think he has to. I don't think there's any other choice.
Do you think the only way they could you think that he has to replicate game two to win?
I do. I think LeBron has to do what he did at the
end. I think
end.
They'll lose if he does that. I'm serious.
I think they honestly, BT, I think they lose anyways. But I still think that he has to try.
Mm.
He has to try it that way because I don't think it works the other way. Like these other guys, I mean, maybe Kyle Korver has a day, but I can't trust that.
I mean, with all due respect, he's been a good pro. Where are you going with Kyle Korver at this point?
That's my point. So
listen to this. This is crazy. So they have the opening tip, Miles Turner and Kevin Love, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the play-by-play from the other night.
Yeah.
I'll ignore the Pacers stuff, but this is just anytime the Cavaliers have the rock, right? LeBron makes a 12-foot pull-up jump shot. LeBron makes a 2-point shot. LeBron makes a 17-foot 2-point shot. Korver, defensive rebound. LeBron, 28-foot 3-point shot. LeBron, defensive rebound. LeBron, 17-foot 2-pointer. LeBron misses a 12-footer. Kevin Love, hey, very nice. Kevin Love, 4 minutes in, gets a rebound. LeBron, 2-point shot. Kyle Korver, defensive rebound. J.R. Smith out of bounds, bad pass. Kyle Korver, shooting foul. LeBron, defensive rebound. LeBron, rebound. LeBron, bad pass, turnover. LeBron makes a 20. This is in succession. LeBron, 28-foot three, 25-foot three over with George Hill on the assist. That's the first 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
Think about what he had to do to prevent them from getting blown out.
You're right.
That's too much for anybody to handle. But, I'm going to really disagree with you. If he doesn't get them involved early tonight, they're not winning the game.
What's everybody else doing at this point? You know what I mean?
Kind of standing around hoping LeBron bails him out. All right, get you one win at home. It ain't going to get you two in Indianapolis. And it's definitely not going to get you, you know, a couple against Boston or Toronto, or whomever.
Look at the starting lineup. What does J.R. Smith do?
Tonight?
What does he do? Like, what is his game like? He sits around the perimeter.
He's got to hit threes. He's got to make one or two defensive plays, get in transition. Okay. He's got to play aggressive.
I'm talking about offensively. This is their starting lineup. J.R. Smith, what does he do? He hangs around the perimeter.
Yeah.
Kevin Love, what does he do? He'll cut
through, a little mix and match.
He'll cut through the paint every now and then. Yeah. But most of the time, he's coming off a screen and trying to find himself free in a corner.
Also, right? Keeps the ball moving. Good passer.
Agreed.
Good passer.
He is very good passer. But he's always around the perimeter.
Yeah.
Kyle Korver.
Always, he's always moving, always outside.
But he's always around the perimeter.
Yep.
George Hill. I mean, he's your point guard, technically, but he's
good, very good three-point shooter. Not so much with the Cavaliers.
Just not with the Cavs. But,
yeah.
My point is, there's nobody to go score.
There's no Kyrie Irving.
There's nobody to go score tough basketball.
No, there's no Kyrie Irving.
There's nobody other than LeBron.
Yeah.
And if you're the Indiana Pacers, your job is to prevent the perimeter from scoring. Right, and put somebody on LeBron. Lance Stevenson's a pain in his ass. Put Lance.
He's one of the few guys who's not afraid.
He doesn't care.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
You put Lance Stevenson. You get help whenever LeBron tries to get down in the lane, and you're making him work again.
Mm-hmm.
But it's your only choice. You just look at the starting lineup. It's your only choice because they live on the perimeter, and so unless they're knocking down three pointers, most of them contested probably.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to lose this game. You know what I mean? And so.
I guess that's not my debate. They're going to lose the series anyway if the other guys don't step up.
Yeah.
So you may as well try to get them flowing early, still somewhat early in the series, game three. If you wait for, like, must-have game five or game six,
no, I think game
may as well not even show up.
If they lose game three tonight, game four is must-win.
Yeah.
Certainly.
But if the other guys don't have a positive feeling going into game four, they're not going to show up and get you a win in game four.
True.
I think, you know what, I'm a firm believer, Teak, in positive energy for role players. Superstars, they can fight their way, they can will their way out of it on sheer talent and mental, you know, just fortitude. The fringe players, the role players, the shooters, the guys who need help, the spot up guys, they need to feel good about their game. Like, things need to be almost contained, like in a bubble. Like temperature, like climate control.
No, I hear what you're saying.
And LeBron's the thermostat. He's got to control the climate for him because they're not good enough to do it themselves.
I agreed. But even when he tries to, like with Jeff Green in game
one. But Jeff's not going to go 0-for-8 again or whatever. Jeff Green's going to hit some shots if he's open.
Okay.
I think they're going to play well tonight.
I hope.
Okay.
All right. For LeBron's sake.
We shall see. We got some questions about the schedule. So the man who made it, basically Mike North, the NFL Director of Broadcasting Scheduling, is going to join us coming up next. Looking forward to that conversation. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Sorry, Ms. Jackson. Okay, Teak. Come on, buddy. Hit the high note, will you? I am weak.
My vocal cords are still sore.
Oh, jeez. What a wuss. Come on, man.
Cognac. A little douce.
From two nights ago, you still feeling it? Are you kidding? We didn't drink that much.
I know.
Although it was good. It was good. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. The draft is next week. We're all over it. Got Sam Darnold on Monday. Got Josh Rosen on Tuesday among our guests. Tiki, our guest right now, he's got a tough job. Because nobody really ever says, oh, what a great schedule you put out. Oh, what a phenomenal job. Wow, your instincts were superb. It's really the complete opposite. You get ripped apart for missing things. That's what we'll pretty much do, although we like them. Mike North, who is the NFL Director of Broadcasting in terms of the schedule and all that stuff. Mike, welcome back. I know we've had you on before. How are you today, buddy? What's going on?
I'm doing just fine today, gentlemen. How are you?
Awesome. Oh, by the way, my boy Mitch says hi.
Hey, Mitch.
Well, you know, your fraternity brother, Mitch.
I got him.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you knew. Okay. He'd get all nervous if I didn't bring it up on my in Myrtle Beach. But go, how come you didn't say hi to him on the air? Mike, let me ask you this. I want to give you a pass on this because I know it's not easy. I do think in large part you guys do a good job. Can you explain to me the logic of having the Chargers play at home on week 5 and not playing back in L.A. until week 11? Like, if I'm a Charger fan, like, all kidding aside, I'm irate at that. What was the logic behind that?
Well, a couple things. It wasn't entirely our doing. You know, they signed up for the London trip this year, so we knew that they were going to be in London somewhere in the middle there, 6, 7, 8. They asked specifically to go on the road on the East Coast the week prior to London, kind of cut the trip in half and go from there.
Okay.
You know, the bye week is going to follow London. Don't forget they share that stadium out there with the soccer team, with the Galaxy, and they've got regular season games. They've got potential playoff games out there. You know, the Chargers are a tenant. They don't have least priority, so we're trying to work around everything that they've got going on. Could we have gotten them home 1 week earlier? Maybe. I readily admit I don't know off the top of my head if there was a stadium block in 10 or not, but the truth of the matter is there was always going to be a 3-4 week stretch in there in the middle where they were going to be out of L.A. We worked real hard to get them 3 home games before they went to London, save 4 games, 4 home, 5 road for after they got back. Again, working around some stadium considerations. Is it ideal? No, but I don't think the Chargers were surprised.
Yeah, that's a pretty that's a pretty damn good answer there, Mike.
That's a good breakdown. I don't know if the Chargers actually reached out. How many, without naming the team, I mean, obviously you don't have to do that. How many teams actually reached out to you and were not happy with the way things lined up for them specifically? Anybody?
Always, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Look, it goes in 2 steps. I think we talked about this last year. You know, release day is just sort of excitement. We got our schedule. We get it. We're happy for it. Oh, yeah, we got this. We got this. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. Mm. But, you know, release day, everybody just sort of reacts viscerally, emotionally. It's really today when people start to dive into it.
Yeah.
And they look and they say, oh, look at that. They put us on the road in Florida in September in the heat, but not our division opponent. Or, you know, somebody else had a road trip to San Francisco, and they got a home game after it, and we got a road game. Or somebody in the scouting department brings a note to the PR guy and says, hey, did you know this is the, you know, 11th year in a row that we've had to play the Dallas Cowboys coming off their bye week or something like that. So today's usually the day where people digest it a little bit more. More people in the organization see it. And really, people start looking at other teams' schedules. Yesterday was all about just my schedule. Today, it's about how does my schedule compare with everybody else's. And, yeah, we got our usual number of phone calls, you know, not thrilled about a two-away to start or not thrilled about not enough home primetime games, stuff like that. But by and large, you know, our teams kind of know what to expect and hope that if the bad luck fell on them this year, it hasn't been a, you know, recent, and it hopefully won't happen again soon.
Yeah, no, okay. Mike, I got to give you a lot of credit. And whatever algorithm is putting this together for the 59,000 possibilities that are out there for you and Howard Katz and Blake Jones and Charlotte Carey, congrats for getting this done. Tip of the cap, because it's not easy. I know. There's a couple of things I want to ask you about, though.
Sure.
One is a new concept, I think, even though it may have been implemented before, just now it's getting talked about. This rest disparity quotient, whatever you want to call it, that has now been implemented. You know, why did that come to the forefront this season?
It's one of those things that's always kind of been in the back of our minds. Not so much total number of days across a whole season, but more individual weeks. One of the things that we look at is when you have to play a team coming off their bye week. Turns out that if you're at home and you're playing a team coming to you coming off their bye week, you win the same percentage, 55%, whatever it is. You win your 55% of your home games, whether you're playing somebody coming off their bye or not. When you go on the road to play a team coming off their bye week, you know, instead of winning 44% of the time, you win something like 36% of the time.
Wow.
So that's like a 20% impact. That is statistically significant.
Definitely.
And something that we should look to avoid. You can't avoid them all, right? You got 32 byes. Somebody's going to have to play a road game against a team coming off their bye. But you shouldn't have multiples. And what we try to do is limit that to 2. And there have been years where teams have had 3 or even 4. And that's something that we would look to avoid if we could. This total rest disparity thing has just sort of reared its head these last couple of years. Again, I'm not sure, you know, a one-day rest difference coming off a Monday versus a Sunday or somebody coming off a Saturday really impacts win-loss percentage that much. coming off a Thursday, you know, 10 days instead of 7 days since your last game, that doesn't seem to be statistically significant just yet. But if you're the team that feels like, man, oh, man, every week it seems like we're playing somebody more rested than us, you know, 3 days here, 1 day there, 7 days there, and it starts to add up, and somebody, again, in the scouting department or in the advanced analytics department totals it all up and says, hey, did you know across the league we were minus 22 and nobody else was minus 12 or worse? You do feel like an outlier, and you do wonder, hey, did the league even notice? We can't say any longer that we didn't notice. We may still put a schedule out someday where a team feels like, hey, why us?
Yeah.
But it'll never be because we didn't notice, we didn't total it up, we weren't aware of it. That being said, you guys know this as well as anybody. You know, good teams overcome scheduling challenges, and, you know, teams that struggle find any number of reasons to explain why they struggle.
Yeah, it becomes their excuse.
We've had teams with horrible rest discrepancy go 12-4, and we've had teams with fantastically positive rest discrepancy go 2-14.
Yeah, it becomes their excuse if they're not good.
Yeah, you know what I mean? A lot of teams. Yeah, true.
Like the Giants, he didn't say that, but that's what it was.
The 3-13. They needed some excuses. I know Teak wanted to go in a different direction, but before we lose that point, Mike, is it common practice? Mike North with us, by the way, of course, the NFL director of broadcasting here on Teaky and Tierney. Is it common practice where if you feel, for lack of a better term, based on the metrics that you just threw out there, if a team gets screwed 1 year, do you go out of your way to make it more favorable the next season to make amends, to let them know, hey, we know it shook out a little bit unfavorably. We're fair-minded people in the office. Do you guys do that?
I'll say yes, but I'll put an asterisk on that. you know, it's all about the, I don't want to use your word, but, you know, the challenges that you face, they're different. You know, a three-game road trip is one thing. Two away to start the season is another. Two away to finish the season is another. Mm-hmm. Going to Florida in September is tough. Going to Lambeau in December is tough. You know, I would hope that the team didn't feel like they got the same short straw 2 years in a row, 3 years in a row. But, you know, to say that, oh, Team X complained last year, therefore they're going to get a perfect schedule this year, there's no such thing. And, B, there's no real way to measure the impact of that commitment until you actually get in the room and you start burning through schedules and you realize, hey, I know we told that team that we weren't going to do this to them, but look at what it costs us. We could fix them, but we break Jacksonville, Houston, and Chicago, or we break ESPN and CBS. Is it the right thing to do, you know, to overcompensate for one bad break in a season schedule? You know, it's 256 games. Most teams feel like they were one game off. I hope nobody feels like they were more than, you know, two or three that could have gone a little bit different. But if you're one game off, yeah, those are the kind of games where we watch and we root for that team and hope it wasn't our fault that they lost.
Hey, Mike, we all know how business works. There's certain quid pro quos that happen. Now, Fox is an enormous, enormous partner with the National Football League, taking all the Thursday night games, and they wanted to move some of their regular Sunday games into the Thursday slots. What, you gave them consideration for this, and I think it's a good thing because the Thursday night package this season looks fantastic, starting with the Vikings and Rams and going all the way through to the Chargers and the Chiefs. You know, how much of a consideration was what Fox wanted because they are such now a big partner of this broadcast on Thursday afternoons or evenings, I should say?
Yeah, it was a significant priority for us this year, mostly because the inventory that you reference on Thursday Night Football, when you look at the Thursday Night Football schedule and you feel like maybe it's a little bit better, quote-unquote, than it's been in previous years, it's because of games like Saints-Cowboys, Packers-Seahawks, Rams-Vikings, Panthers-Steelers. Those are all, quote, Fox games. So if we didn't take those games from Fox to populate the other primetime packages, Sunday night and Monday night, and then Fox is holding those games in their hand, we did work with them to figure out, hey, which of these games do you feel like belong on Sunday at 4:25, which, let's not forget, that's our most viewed window. You know, that's where more fans gather to watch a game than any other window. So we still want to make sure there's quality inventory at 4:25 Eastern on Sunday afternoons. That's where you get 20, 22, 25 million people at a pop.
Yep.
We don't want to gut that window by putting all the best stuff on Thursday. But if you're Fox and you say, hey, we've got two packages here and we're kind of looking to balance them out a little bit, and certainly in year one, maybe, you know, some on the scale a little bit toward Thursday night, we were able to work with them and hopefully still leave behind quality inventory for Sunday afternoons.
My final thing for me, Mike North, NFL Director of Broadcasting here on Teaky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. How much of the schedule is a projection, a prediction of where you think certain draft choices might go, specific to the quarterback position, that would be interesting and marquee matchups to fans across the country?
Look, if we had it to do over again, you know, 20 years ago, I think we would have asked if we could have put the schedule out after the draft.
Yeah.
Wish we knew, quite honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
There were years, I remember the Andrew Luck and RG3 year, where it was obvious by really this point in time who was going to take whom. I mean, remember, they used to sign number one draft picks a week before the draft.
Yeah.
We would know these things. And so if you knew, yes, we could react. I'm not sure we know anything. Does anybody know who's going to go? One, two, three, four? So to make a decision now about a national television window or a primetime game, expecting somebody to get drafted, A, the kid's still got to get drafted, B, he's got to win the job, and C, be starting week one, I'm not sure we're prepared to make a commitment to a game like that in week one. But you certainly know which teams may have, you know, compelling storylines.
Sure.
If not
yeah.
kids that they drafted. You know, somebody's going to have to play quarterback. For the Jets, for instance, right? The Jets and the Lions, Monday night of week one, it's going to be interesting regardless of who's under center for the Jets. Just not sure who that's going to be right now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I also feel like you, and this is smart if I'm you, I also feel like you guys on some level are aware of, like you try to get the perceived bad teams to play each other early when there's still some energy, some positive energy within those fan bases. The last thing you want to do is, you know, put a team that I think we all think the Browns will be much better this year, but it would be a disservice to put the Browns on national TV in week 15. You better throw them a bone early when they still have a season in front of them, right?
Hey, look, the beauty of this league right now is who knows who's going to be good next year. I mean, you're always going to count on the big national brands, the Cowboys, the Packers, the Steelers, the Patriots. Those guys are always going to be maxed out on national television. But, you know, this league turns over so fast. You got, you know, 8 or 12 new playoff teams seemingly every year. There's always somebody going worst to first. You know, for us to be able to sit in this room in March and April and predict who's going to be good is folly. So,
oh, no, I can do that,
Mike. To a certain extent, you're right. We try to get, you know, the games in early. But, you know, you referenced the Browns. They're on national television in week 3. They're on national television in week 15 also. They're part of that Saturday afternoon package on NFL Network. So if they are better, like we all think they're going to be, you know, here's two bites at that apple for the Browns. And if they're really good, maybe a Sunday night flexible scheduling move down there in December, and we'll see them again.
That's awesome. Mike, great job as always. Appreciate you coming on. Thanks, buddy.
Always a pleasure,
good
gentlemen.
Stuff,
take
Mike.
Care.
Be good.
You got it. He's really good. Mike North, NFL Director of Broadcasting. So the Brownies get a little couple of primetime looks, huh?
More importantly, John Gruden, new head coach. I guess new again head coach of the Oakland Raiders 4 times in primetime.
Mm-hmm. Not a bad thing. A little pressure, though, on his replacement to make sure he does a good job. You know, looking down at Chucky on the bench. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, get it all at geico.com. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. It's a little peek behind the curtain, kind of how they get to where they get. I thought that was good. T, good questions. Good job on that. Axe update is coming up right now. After that, we got the blast. Here is Rich Ackerman.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question, T, coming in from, let's go with this one. I like this on Boogie. Sean Olberts at All in All. That's Twitter handle. Should the Pelicans just allow Boogie to go in free agency since they've thrived when he went out of the lineup? Hashtag ask the pros. I got my answer, but go ahead. First crack.
I'd say no, because without Boogie, you're forced to put Anthony Davis at center. And defensively, sometimes that gets taxing. It will get taxing for him. So I'm going to say no. Keep him.
Okay. I could say yes, because that's a lot of money to give somebody who's just coming off a ruptured Achilles. I mean, for a big man. However, you might be able to get 70 cents on the dollar because of that injury.
Agreed.
You might be able to get one of the top 15 players in the NBA.
For a bargain.
For a pretty decent bargain. And if that's the case, no doubt. If he's looking for top shelf max, then I'd probably say no.
Yeah.
Get a little deal, then I'd say yeah. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. By the way, D-Cell, what you got going on this weekend there, stud? Young man, what do you got going on? No responsibility?
You know my weekend is full of work.
You are working a lot this year. You do have a little responsibility. Sampton with the lady this weekend? Low key?
I got a couple friends in town as well.
Oh.
Always nice.
So they're going to meet the lady for the first time, maybe?
No, they've met her.
Oh, they met her already?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because they live, like, in Arizona.
Around town. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, at this point, the only person on the planet who hasn't met her is Tiki.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm chopped liver.
And what do you have going on at the house? You said you guys have planted stuff this weekend?
Planting. We just put it in a playset, actually. Playground.
You
today.
Did?
Yeah, today. We put it in a playground. Brooklyn is so excited.
Now, what do you mean we? You mean you hired somebody to come in and put it in?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Did you do anything?
Hell no.
Okay.
Come on now. I took the old one down.
You did?
I got a chainsaw. It was awesome.
No, that's fun, though.
I rented a chainsaw from Home Depot and just went at it. It was awesome, dude. But then the problem is after you do that, you got to clean up all the stuff.
All the sawdust.
It's like
all
everywhere.
What did you rip down? An old playset?
It was an old.
I don't remember even seeing it in the backyard.
It was gone quickly. There's like that spot that's out near the back by the pool. It's all the way back in the back corner.
Yeah.
It was wood, though.
Okay.
So it wasn't even like it was full of splinters. You couldn't play on it.
Yeah.
Like,
there were
splinters everywhere. Yeah. It was weather worn. It was disgusting.
Yeah. It was an eyesore, too. So it wasn't
gross eyesore,
but it was not what you guys were looking for.
One weekend, Tracy's like, go get a chainsaw and cut that. I was like, really?
Is it like this whole elaborate set?
It was
a pretty nice one, right?
It's pretty small, but it's got two swings or three swings, I should say, a slide, a little, like, I don't know, pirate ship type thing.
Oh, yeah,
it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, pretty neat.
Nice.
So Brooklyn's excited. She called me earlier. Like, Daddy, thank you.
Can you imagine having that as a kid?
No.
I didn't have anything close to that.
You had to walk like half a mile to go find a place.
You used to jump off roofs and like jump over fences and
I know.
Throw rocks at people or not at people, but maybe in their vicinity, just not at them.
I threw snowballs at
Virginia did.
And we got caught.
So did I.
By the police.
No, I got pulled over by the police today.
What?
Yeah, I got pulled over first time since I think I said my dad was a sergeant for some ridiculous reason about 5 years ago. Yeah, I got pulled over. I was on my phone. I was actually talking to my dad, and I was coming back from Golf Superstore, and I go get some equipment. And I had my, since I was coming from a different direction, even though I know the way, I just put our radio station on my phone directions. Yeah. And I was looking down at it, and I was talking to my dad through my hands-free device. But the cop saw me looking down at my phone, and he pulled me over, and he said...
what was your excuse?
I just told him, I said, I'm on hands-free. No, I was very polite, and, I said, listen, the tough part is because I have the card and I've got a mm-hmm. badge... You don't want to be like, hey, I'm not getting a ticket. Here you go. So you got to strike the proper respect.
I hear you.
You don't want to assume anything. So, you let the officer say what he's got to say. And then I'll say, officer, I'm not trying to be presumptuous or anything. But, my old man's part of the, back of the day. So he said he'd get pulled over. But he still went and he ran my license.
Make sure you don't have any.
Clean as a whistle, came back. He said, all right, go ahead. Get out of here.
Nice.
Ready for a little blast?
Yeah, let's blast.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, Cowboys often troubled star Randy Gregory is applying for reinstatement. He's failed not one, not two, three, four. Failed drug test here.
Wow.
Should the NFL let him back in?
Yeah, they should let him back in. Marijuana perception is changing in the league. This is weed. So
are we sure it's 100% weed?
I think. I'm almost positive. Because
that's a big presumption.
The two were weed in the same year, which caused the suspensions to stack. And then they got implemented at the end of the season because he tried to appeal. And so that's why he missed all of 2017. So I'm going to say yes, as long as he stays clean. But we know how this works. If he gets another one. Just like Josh Gordon.
I'm with you. I would say, to my knowledge, he was never like pulled over with an inordinate amount of weed recklessly driving or with a revolver and drugs. I mean, again, 4 times for marijuana is pure idiocy when you know the test is coming.
But 4 is also, remember, 1 is to get into the program.
That's true.
So
That's true. That's true. So I'm with you. I still don't trust he'll capitalize on the chance if he gets it, but I'd probably give him one more shot.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of marijuana testing, today is, what's today, Samter? What is today, Samter? Special holiday?
It's April 20th.
April 20th?
Oh, what does that mean?
Oh, come on. You know what it means.
Of course I know what it means, but I wanted Samter to tell everybody.
He knows. And the start of the league annual drug testing period. Coincidence or perfect timing to catch players? I think it's a coincidence. By the way, did you see the report? I saw an ad on Instagram last night. I was thumbing through. On Bleacher Report, I think. And it was like 5 athletes, and we know them all. Is this live, this fight, by the way? No, that's an old one.
baseball brawl. And there was like five athletes, and they were actually smoking blunts.
What?
Retired athletes.
Oh, okay.
One of them may have been Steven Jackson. Maybe. But they were athletes that we absolutely knew. And one was Kenyon Martin, I think. And they were all holding some sort of blunt.
Whatever they're doing, they're not getting tested for it. So it's all good, right?
Yeah, I don't even know what the question is. I was just saying that people were smoking
blunts. It's a question. Is it a coincidence or is it perfect timing to catch players? It's obviously perfect time to catch players, but...
It's always the perfect time to catch players because players always smoke.
And that's what I was going to say. You can really do it anytime.
You can wake up and test them. It's a good time. Why? Because they smoked the night before. All right, how about this? Which NBA playoff team has the most pressure tonight? It's the Cavaliers.
No doubt.
We could overthink this and try to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, we want to talk about the Wizards. Oh, the Wizards got to get...
Nobody cares about the Wizards. Wizards don't deserve the respect of us making them our answer
right now. And then the Bucks are, where they are. They're just not playing right.
Having said that, though, do you think...
It's the Cavs.
Because
if they lose...
Yeah.
And they're down 2-1...
With another game
on the road, that's heavy hill.
Do you think the Bucks will win tonight?
No.
Do you think that the Wizards will win tonight?
No.
And do you think the Pacers will win tonight?
No.
So that's interesting. So
I think the Cavs go up 2-1.
If those two series turn to 3-0, that would be a real disappointment.
I
think at least one of them is going to win. Maybe both. We'll see. They got problems, though. James Dolan freaks out basically every Knicks fan. Hey, just keep his mouth shut. Just disappear. Practice your bad music. Says that KP could be out for the season. This kind of just slipped in, like, in the middle of this extensive interview with the Post, Mark Berman. Who's the dumb? That's not right. Who's the dumbest, most incompetent owner in sports? The easy answer for me is to probably say Dolan, but the Rangers, outside of this year, they've been pretty functional for a while. They've been pretty good. Oh, the worst. I don't know that any owner is dumb.
Because
unless you were handed a team, although Dolan actually was by his dad. You're not dumb.
No, you're right.
To reach that,
and
that
even if
peak.
They're even if they're annoying,
there's over-aggressive, there's misguided,
like
there's
Jerry
cheap
Jones.
Owners. Yeah,
you're not dumb.
I'm going to abstain from this question, Sam. I don't like that question.
I don't either.
Not a good question.
What if we want to get these guys on the radio?
Nice. Well, Dolan never talks, and I don't even know if I'm.
All right, so let's say
I told you the one time I tried
to say
talk
Dolan.
To him, he wouldn't even look me in the eye.
So let's say Dolan it.
Yeah, I guess we could say Dolan. That's fine. Braves minor league affiliate having a free beer night. Is this a good or a bad idea? Now, this is a horrific idea. This is a bad idea.
Really?
This is up there with Disco Demolition Night, Nickel Beer Night back in the
70s. Yeah, but you know what? It's probably like a free beer is probably this much. It's tiny.
Well, I'm sure
I told you the story. I went to the beer at the zoo, whatever it was, the Turtleback Zoo.
Oh, it's a great zoo.
It's awesome. And they had a beer, like a beer night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they gave you cups that are like this big.
Like
urine
specimen
cups. You're taking a shot of beer.
Yeah.
I'm like, thanks.
How many did you have, though? 1,000?
Yeah, but you got to wait in line. So it's not even worth it.
You any details on this here, Mike? What is it again?
Yeah, it's from the first pitch until the other team scores.
Whoa!
So listen, if they have their ace on the mound and this is like 7-inning shutout,
wow!
It's free drinks all night.
Oh, that's
so
interesting.
So the window is open for this to be bad. Now they can hit a 3-run bomb in the first inning and it's over, but I don't know. Then again, minor league teams need to do quirky things to get people in there.
I actually like
good job.
This
have fun.
Is a good idea.
Just don't
I,
drive.
Actually, I actually like this.
Don't try.
Uber. Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Uber. Just make sure you Uber.
So when I lived in Las Vegas, the Las Vegas 51s, Cashman Field, minor league affiliate, right? Mets are there now. It's the Dodgers at this point. They had Del Taco. You've heard of Del Taco, right? And they were probably 800-900 people in the stadium.
Yeah.
And we were one of them, right? Because it was a Tuesday night. I think it was Dollar Beer Nights. I mean, I was young. I was 25 or 26, and a couple of my knucklehead friends from the radio station. We had a good time, right? And it was like 6 o'clock first pitch, so I had a lot. And the PR person's walking through the stands. They wanted to get a contestant to do this this on-field promotion.
Oh, Lord.
So I said, yeah, you can already tell this doesn't end up well.
No.
I'm like, I got it. So I go on the field. The contest was a bat race.
Oh, man, those are horrible.
You know what these are, right?
Spin around.
I've had at least 10 beers.
Yeah.
So you spin around.
You're spinning already.
You had to do at least three
times.
Yeah,
you're spinning already.
And then you got to run from home plate to third base. So you're running actually backwards. And they had this ribbon, like with two cheerleaders holding it. And I was so disoriented. I actually started running straight to the dugout. Like I was a mess. I mean, partly drunk, but also just really
busy.
equilibrium banged up. So the guy's beating me. Yeah, this is terrible. This is a true story, I swear to God. I go to, like, grab his leg to kind of get around. I tore the poor guy's ACL.
No,
I swear to God. They carted him off on a stretcher, and I won the race. And the poor kid's son was in the stadium. He was, like, 5 years old.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.